South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Nabil Bilal in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Tuesday, July 5th, 2022. Sudanese react to the announcement by the country's top military leader to step back and allow civilians to form an independent government.
I call upon the various components of the Sudanese people, especially the youth, to adhere to peace. The right to express opinions is guaranteed to all.
And South Sudanese citizens want President Salva Kiir to address key issues in his upcoming Independence Day speech.
This time we will really want a very comprehensive speech from the President of the Republic. This means that we don't need these one or two page speeches that he does on most of the addresses that he gives the nation. But we would like a very comprehensive speech.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudan's civilian opposition group, the Forces for Freedom and Change, or FFC, dismissed General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan's announcement last evening to step back and allow civilians to reach an agreement on forming a transitional government as a tactical move, while some political parties welcomed it. Al-Burhan said the military will withdraw from UN-mediated talks and allow political and revolutionary factions to form a civilian transitional government. Anti-coup street protests continued in Khartoum Tuesday, as Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
In a televised address on Monday evening, military leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan suspended the participation of the military in talks led by the United Nations and a regional bloc aimed at ending the country's political deadlock. Protests demanding an end to military rule continued in and around Khartoum since Thursday, when mass demonstrations by tens of thousands were met by a stiff crackdown. Pro-democracy medics said at least 10 protesters were killed. Al-Burhan called on Sudanese political and revolutionary forces to engage in talks to form an independent government that will complete the task of the transitional period. Once the executive arm of government is formed, Al-Burhan said, the Sovereign Council will be dissolved and a Supreme Council of the Armed Forces will be formed to assume the supreme command of regular forces. He urged citizens to remain calm.
I call upon the various components of the Sudanese people, especially the youth, to adhere to peace. The right to express opinions is guaranteed to all. The sacrifices you have made are appreciated, and the realization of your hopes and aspirations for the democratic transition.
On October 25th last year, Al-Burhan staged a military coup, dissolving the transitional government formed after the military ousted longtime President Omar al-Bashir following a popular uprising that began in 2019. Protests have continued since that time. The UN and the African Union have led mediation efforts to break the deadlock amid the country's economic crisis. Al-Burhan said the army will not stand in the way of a democratic transition.
The military and security organs shall stand by the achievements of justice and assist in the investigation that leads to the fact findings and bring to justice all those involved in the loss of lives. The armed forces reiterate their previous commitment to work with all components of the Sudanese people in order to reach a national consensus that completes the path of transition and democratic transformation leading to elections.
Kamal Omar, a leader in the Islamic Popular Congress Party, says the decision was necessary as the country faces what he calls a constitutional vacuum. Omar says political parties must use this time to reach a consensus and achieve the objectives of the revolution.
There is no constitutional court, no high judicial council, and no high prosecution council. Therefore, we as political parties are required, amidst the challenging political situation in our country, to move forward with the dialogue and achieve the aspiration of our people who are longing for democracy and freedoms.
Political analyst Abdulmunem Himid says the announcement was expected as Al Burhan is facing major political challenges and has failed to lead the country over the past 9 months. He says Al Burhan was trying to find an exit strategy after orchestrating the coup.
Al Burhan confirmed the failure of his government and regretted the killing of the people. Indeed, he doesn't want to hand over power to civilians, but wants to gain time, especially as he is facing major crimes, a crime of leading a coup.
The Forces for Freedom and Change Coalition, a consortium of political parties in Sudan, are expected to comment on Al Burhan's announcement at a news conference today. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Some South Sudanese are urging President Salva Kiir to address key pending issues of the peace deal like security arrangements and elections in his upcoming independence anniversary speech. They say Mr. Kiir should also address the country's economic collapse. Dengai Deng has this report for VOA from Bor.
Juba resident Emmanuel Bida says citizens want to hear President Kiir addresses all issues affecting the country, including the deteriorating economy and the shrinking political space.
This time we will really want a very comprehensive speech from the President of the Republic. This means that we don't need these one or two page speeches that he does on most of the addresses that he gives the nation. But we would like a very comprehensive speech that encompasses all aspects of the nation, from economics to social issues to the progress made in the revitalized agreement, and also especially want the president to talk about the economic reforms.
Bida says the president should also describe development projects his government has undertaken and solutions his government is offering to address widespread floods that have devastated parts of the country. Bortown resident Abraham Aleu says he wants Kiir to speak about rampant insecurity due to intercommunal violence.
People are dying east, far southwest, far northeast, and these people are people of South Sudan, and sometimes you can hear 25, 30 people are losing their life without even hearing the condolence message from government. So life of single South Sudanese today should not be lost without a good reason. So it's really surprised, and I'm begging His Excellency Dr. President Kiir Mayadi to address for us the issue of to address the matters concerning citizens, not matters that concerning politicians.
Joseph Ernesto, a resident of Yambio, the Western Equatorial State Capital, says the president should talk about the graduation of necessary unified forces. Ernesto says dates to graduate the forces have come and gone. He says the president should tell the nation exactly what is happening with the forces.
We would wish to hear the clear information about this, and words that will be implemented, not words that we shall be looking forward to for. And, you know, like each and every time where we hear of days are being scheduled for the graduation of the unified forces, and this has been not put into consideration. So whatever words that he is going to pronounce ahead of this day, it should be a word that will be full of implementation.
Ernesto also says the president should address the election, noting that people are skeptical about whether elections will even be held earlier next year, as called for in the 2018 peace agreement. He says Kiir should also address the vicious cycle of deadly attacks and revenge attacks between farmers and cattle keepers, especially in the equatorial region, and announce solutions for the problem. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The whole of this week, we will run special feature stories, vox pops, and interviews on how some South Sudanese feel 11 years after their country gained independence. With less than 8 months to the end of the transitional period, parties to the 2018 peace agreement are racing to finish drafting a permanent constitution for the country. As Waki Simon Wudu reports from the capital, Juba, the parties have little time to ensure they will have a permanent constitution in place before expected elections in 2023.
The peace deal requires a permanent constitution once the transitional period expires in 2023. The deal also tasks the transitional parliament to enact legislation to govern the constitutional-making process. However, with less than 8 months to go before the transitional period expires, all of the above tasks have yet to be completed. Here is what Information Minister Michael Makwe has to say.
We have done all that we could. The delay was is at present in the parliament, because the commission, according to the agreement, is supposed to be established by a law, and that law is to be enacted by the parliament. The law is not yet passed by the parliament, and once it is passed, then the commission will be established.
Makwe blames mediators of the peace deal for the delays in completing the work on the permanent constitution.
These are some of the provisions of the agreement on which we were not in agreement but were imposed on us. If it was left to the president would have established the commission from day one, and the commission would have gone that far up to now. But unfortunately, and these are the shortcomings of an agreement which is done hastily and imposed on people.
Lawmaker Chan Deng Maror, a senior member of the SPLM IO party, disagrees. He says lack of political will from the SPLM in government is the cause of the delays.
When parties are not ready to implement or to put things on time and on order, such that the thing will finish within the agreed time by the agreement, then this for me is mean the lack of political will, because the parties are not ready as well to implement the agreement in the letter and spirit and the will of the people of South Sudan. So this is the matter of that. Another one is a delayment tactic.
Boboya James, a South Sudanese policy and a political analyst, agrees with Maror. He says the parties are simply buying time.
Because of lack of political will, the government is not willing to fund the process. And right now, there's no, you know, robust or vigorous, you know, mobilization of community, civil society, and media to be able to, you know, participate in this process. So always, when you see the process has been more self-invite, where, for example, civil society, people who are really interested because they have the country at heart, are able to, you know, push their heads through, you know, to really know what's going on as part of that process concerns.
Maror says delays in working out the permanent constitution could affect the implementation of the peace agreement.
As we speak, people of South Sudan are worried because they are even traumatized on such a situation, because they don't know what is the so-called government. Because you can learn the government when there is a periodic, free and credible election, where people know that this time we'll be having election and this time we'll be having this, but now we don't have all this. So we have a transition happen. When transition is almost to end, there is a fighting, the war erupting, all this, and then that traumatizes us. There's no hope.
James says the parties to the deal should not rush the permanent constitution making process and make sure it is people driven.
You cannot run a country without proper constitution. And of course, that has been known. You know, when I give you the example of Kenya, the reason why Kenya has begun to progress in developing its society is because of this aspect of living in accordance with the rule of law. And the rule of law we talk about is a permanent constitution that cannot easily be tampered with. A constitution that has a very strong apparatus. It's very strong, processes that if you want to tamper with, it requires, for example, referendum. A process that, you know, allows citizens to own the process more than government.
James says the parties that signed the revitalized peace agreement are required to implement all the chapters of the 2018 peace deal.
For many, many years, the local government system doesn't work. It doesn't translate into service delivery because the primary vehicle of service delivery in South Sudan is basically the local governments. And of course, they are the lower governments that are more connected and more closer to the communities. And right now, power is centralized. Power rests in the presidency, which is not the case when we talk about a permanent constitution-making process.
President Salva Kiir launched work on the constitution-making process last year in May, with the absence of a parliamentary act to guide the work on the permanent constitution-making process as required by the peace deal. It means the work is far behind schedule. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Some South Sudanese leaders in the diaspora are adding their voices to the chorus calling for the speedy implementation of the 2018 peace deal. But Ladu Gobek, member of the rebel group the National Salvation Front, says the implementation of the peace deal will not solve the country's crisis. He says South Sudanese should unite and pressure the transitional government of national unity to address the political crisis in the country.
You remember, Brother Tanza, the struggle of South Sudanese people. We have yearned for independence for over 50 years. And finally, on July the 9th, 2011, we South Sudanese came together, regardless of our ethnic and political differences, regardless of our economic status, regardless of whether you are educated or not educated, regardless of whether you are light-skinned or dark, whether you are tall or short, we came together as one people to raise the South Sudanese flag, the symbol of our pride. And we raised that flag with joy in our hearts and songs of gladness on our lips. For we have finally seen the vision of hope and felt the power of concerted action and self-belief that together we can achieve big things.
Yeah, let me just follow up here on the quest for peace. What should South Sudanese have done differently to avoid the vicious cycle of violence in the country?
What South Sudanese citizens need to do is to stop the politics of hatred, the politics of not trusting each other, the politics of labels, of saying Mushilade Tadinka, Mushilade Tanwer, Mushilade Ekotorians. But we need to leave our tribal and ethnic differences aside and rise up as South Sudanese and embrace the sense of nationalism, that we rise as one people and fall as one people. We must not allow ourselves to be used by politicians who want to hang on into power or those who want to rise up to J1, to the presidential palace in J1. And then we need to think of the common men and the common women of South Sudan who are struggling to put food on the table for their children, who are dreaming for these little kids to be educated to the wonders of the world. It's common men and common women who need health care, who need basic services, who need infrastructure, who need security so they can do farming.
Ladu Gobek, it's easily said than done. You will agree with me that the country is polarized along ethnic division, and it's easily said that we can come together. How can we come together when you are afraid to go to Juba for your life?
Yes, that is true. I'm afraid to go to Juba for my life. That is true. But that does not mean that we cannot come together. Solution does not come only from Juba. I believe that wherever you are, Brother Tanza, you can make a difference. If I can do my part to bring people together, you do your part. Those who are in Juba can do their part. Those who are in Warap can do their part. Those who are in Bentiu can do their part. Those who are in Apanal can do their part. Then by the end of the day, we will all come together as one people to say no to dictatorship, to say no to oppression, to say no to marginalization, and to say no to poverty, and to say no to war.
The search for peace has been long. You're well informed about the implementation process of the RCS. What else could be done differently to make peace sustainable in South Sudan?
You know, Brother Tanza, I think the problem of South Sudan has been this issue of peace that is based on power sharing. I think that is the major problem since 2015, when the first war broke out in 2013. It was resolved 2015. And then the problem became only the issue of power sharing. And again, 2018, we were focused on power sharing. But power sharing is not the solution to the current conflict of South Sudan. Root causes of the conflict must be addressed. What is the problem that led us to where we are? We need to address the issue of the governing system. You know, we need to establish federalism that will give devolution of powers to the people of South Sudan. We need to empower the people, the common men and the common women. We should not concentrate the power in J1, whereby the president can fire the governor. So I believe that it is time for all these South Sudanese leaders who have ruled us from 2005 to today to step aside. And we need to bring government of technocrats, you know, civil society. People need to come together. People who can set the right path to the permanent constitution of South Sudan that is subject to referendum. We need to begin the process of developing the federal system of governance. We need to make sure that we have the right system of financial management that is put in place so that we can avoid corruption, and actually the dollars that comes from the rich natural resources of South Sudan goes into the hands of the simple people of South Sudan, the common men and the common women, educating our children, empowering our women. We need to make sure that we set the right path for election. We need to make sure that we put an army together that is national in character, an army that every South Sudanese child would see himself and herself in the uniform of the army, and the army that will protect the integrity of the elections that will be held, and that will have to make sure that the election is going to be free and fair. Yes. Some people are calling for elections now, but I would say right now this is not the conducive environment for elections, because number one, the whole country is at war. Number two, millions of South Sudanese are displaced and in refugee camps. Number three, we don't have the permanent constitution on which to hold the elections. Number four, you cannot trust these current leaders to actually protect the integrity of the elections. So they may go, but they may bring their cronies. And what will be the difference that will maintain the status quo? So they must all go. We must have a fresh start and give this country, this flag of South Sudan, back to the people.
That's Lado Gobek, a senior member of the National Salvation Front, a group that refused to sign the 2018 peace deal. He spoke with my colleague John Tanza from the U.S. state of Minnesota. South Sudanese are expressing mixed feelings about their country's upcoming 11th birthday. South Sudan in Focus reporter Manyang David Mayar asked some citizens around the capital Juba how they feel 11 years after independence. Here's what they had to say.
My name is John Manyok. I'm a citizen of South Sudan. We were a bit happy in 2011 when we got our independence in July 2011. And after 2 years, then the war broke out. Most of our citizens left with nothing, until some of them ran to the displaced camp, especially in South Sudan here and East Africa. So the independence of South Sudan mean a lot when we got independent. But today, most of our citizens are still in East Africa and in a displaced camp within South Sudan here.
Thank you so much. My name is Esther. I'm so happy to be South Sudanese. I am glad that I was born in this land. I cannot lie that I am happy, but the truth is most of us are not happy because things are changing every day. And sometimes there are some of us that are finding it difficult to say that we are happy due to the economic problems.
I'm by name Victor Adem from South Sudan. The independence of South Sudan was like a blessing, but a curse to the national. Why? Because what majority of people had been expecting turned to be the opposite. Independence was a joyous thing. I witnessed the CPA in 2005 Nyayo Stadium, and we were joyous together with the colleague that we had been together. But as for now, economically, financial independence is not there in South Sudan. We don't have freedom of speech. So to me, it's like a curse, because I did not saw what I was expecting.
My name is Jolie. My opinion on the independence of South Sudan, first of all, when we got independent, us as a nation of South Sudan, we are very happy. We celebrated our independence, but it reached to the extent that we are even, as the citizen of the country, we don't feel good staying in our own country because of the situation now, like school. Our children are studying outside the country. We are supposed to. They are supposed to get education within the country here since we get independent. But now, the situation.
I'm called your lawyer, Charles Lokonga. In regards to the independence of South Sudan, for now, I think we are really trying to move on from the past situations. We are trying to forget about the hard times and the challenges that we have been going through. We know of the war, we know of the crisis that had taken place. But now there seems to be a stream and a light of hope. Though there are still many other issues, like children who have lost their parents during the war. And there are also very many other challenges in terms of development in infrastructure, roads, hospitals, schools. But we believe, as we keep on with the struggle.
Well, my name is Sisi Abe. I remember the first independent I was here, and we were really so happy. And I remember even I stayed out until midnight, and that's when I went back home. Now things have changed. We are not here. We are not secure. We don't feel secure. Especially for me, I want to be home by 8. I want to be in my compound. I don't feel that what we used to feel before. Yeah, even when you walk in the streets, you don't feel. You feel like you're not. That security is not there anymore.
My name is Ronald Amin Simon. 11 years of our independence, we thought that by this time, South Sudan has gone far in terms of development, in terms of everything. By this time, we would have water in our houses, electricity, and all these services. We think by this time we have all the services. But now, we lack these services. We are going slowly by slowly, but we hope we will have these services in future.
My name is Raya. Since the 11 years of independence of our country, it's not really bad. We had some, although we have still some obstacles, yeah, but we still believe that there will be change for a better country as a citizen so that we can live happily. The killings of people, you know, it's all the time they keep on saying that in this place they have killed this amount of people, they have killed people, which is not good. You know, everyone has a right to live, not just to take anyone's life by force. So that it will be having full security all the time. But unfortunately that, it's not all that fully.
Yeah, thank you very much. I am Mzee Francis. A South Sudanese by nationality, and I'm very happy to be a South Sudanese. And for all this while, in 11 years, it has been a long struggle that both citizens and all international bodies have been struggling for this country. And we're happy that we are celebrating our 11th anniversary. Though there were angles and so on in the governance and so on, but we have been pushing in the educational sector.
My name is Maria Nyadwal. We don't actually have independence in this country. Most of the things are not happening. There are no roads, no hospitals for the civilians. Like, nothing is really happening that we need to celebrate about. Okay, we have independence, but I don't think someone should have a celebration for it, because we have a long way to go.
We have a special announcement for listeners. Join us Saturday, July the 9th, for a one-hour special edition of this program hosted live from Juba by my colleague John Tanza from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Again, that date is Saturday, July the 9th, 2022. And that's all we have for you this Tuesday. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, cars, and on your phones. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.